Not all of our minisodes need to be from listeners. In fact, places or lesser-known cases can sometimes take us to dark realms. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another installment of Dark Bites. Now, of course, we now run Dark Bites bi-weekly, and last season, we opened up Dark Bites so we don't just look at haunted locations anymore. We take a look at the gamut of what could be perceived as anything to do with the dark paranormal. Be that, for example, banshees, be that myths, legends, or, as we will see for today and over the upcoming Dark Realms, people who are deeply involved in the dark paranormal community. And today, we literally have a godfather, in my eyes, of British research into the paranormal. But before we move on, a quick shout out to our wonderful Patreon team. We could not do this without you. If you are not a Patreon member, I genuinely do believe it is the best place online for anyone with an interest in the paranormal to become a member. The links for which are in the show notes, and we're currently giving a free week to anyone who wishes at the highest tier of our Patreon, which means you gain access not only to early ad-free releases, but also to a new show every week of Dark Bites, which is 30 minutes of Patreon-only experiences, all true, all just for Patreons. And we have a back catalogue that you have access to of over 180 hours of material. Plus, we've started a new show, which is a 30-minute, non-stop, non-edited recording of me giving my own theories, etc., on the things we've covered that week. And in the show notes, you'll also find a link to submit your own paranormal experiences to the show, or go direct to thedarkparanormal.com, and you'll find the link there, submit my experience. And with Patreon, either click the link or go to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, for today's Dark Bites, it's an absolute pleasure to do a talk, so to speak, about a gentleman I've been enamoured with for a long, long time. Ever since I was maybe 8 years old and I first found out about the Enfield case. Because today's Dark Realms is about Guy Lyon Playfair. Now, you may assume, if you know the Enfield case, or you may have an image of Guy Lyon Playfair, if you don't know him that well, of being the sidekick of Maurice Gross. And that's the entire point of today's episode, because by the end of it, you will learn just who Guy Lyon Playfair really was. And so, before we dive in, get yourself a nice drink, sit down, make yourself comfortable, and listen as we talk about the amazing Guy Lyon Playfair. Guy Lyon Playfair, born 1935, died 2018, is best known as one of the investigators for the famous Enfield poltergeist case in the late 1970s London. But before and beyond Enfield, Playfair led a fascinating career delving into the paranormal mysteries around the world. A Cambridge-educated journalist turned psychical researcher, Playfair spent the early 1970s in Brazil, which he called the most psychically oriented country on Earth. And it was here that his skepticism gave way to conviction as he witnessed poltergeist phenomena firsthand. In 1973, for example, he investigated a poltergeist outbreak in Sao Paulo in an apartment, even capturing inexplicable rapping sounds on tape. He then joined the Society for Psychical Research that year, determined to study such phenomena with an open yet critical mind. Long before Enfield, Playfair's Brazilian adventures had already baptized him into the dramatic world of poltergeists. And today, we will look at two hauntings he investigated outside of Enfield, focusing on the Brazilian poltergeist experiences. And hopefully, as vividly as we can with the information we have. To prove that Guy Lion Playfair is almost served an injustice by the general public by solely being associated to the one very famous case, that being Enfield. And we begin with a look at the Ipiranga Poltergeist, Sao Paulo, 1973. In the early 70s, Brazil offered Playfair an ideal proving ground for the paranormal. One of the first major cases he investigated was the Ipiranga Poltergeist of 73, named after the central Sao Paulo district where it occurred. At first, the family heard mysterious knocks and thuds in the walls and the floors, loud, insistent rapping sounds that seemed to come from an unknown knocker. Soon, the activity escalated into full-blown chaos that would test Playfair's skepticism. Playfair arrived on the scene alongside Brazilian colleague Suzuko Hashizume and others, ready with tape recorders and notepads. What they encountered was like something out of a horror movie. The investigators documented several dramatic phenomena, including thunderous knocking. Explosive bangs would erupt out of nowhere. The walls would shake, as would the floors. One night, as Playfair was drifting off to sleep in the house, a series of deafening bangs jolted him awake, as if an invisible sledgehammer were pounding the wooden floor. He managed to hit record just in time to capture 11 of those percussive blows on tape, each strike so forceful the entire room vibrated. There were objects thrown about. Unseen forces hurled furniture, household items, all without warning. Chairs would slide or topple over, and cushions would reportedly rise vertically and glide through the air. And then there were the spontaneous fires, a truly terrifying turn. Fires would break out inexplicably, anywhere around the home. Clothes, bedsheets, curtains. They would suddenly catch fire without any evident source of ignition. These occurrences were not only frequent, but followed the family wherever they fled. Desperate to escape that onslaught, they moved house to multiple new residences, and every time, the poltergeist doggedly followed them. This suggested the force was not tied to one location, but perhaps centered on a person. A common pattern in poltergeist cases known as the focal agent. Throughout the investigation, Playfair applied his journalistic eye and scientific caution. He noted how the phenomena often displayed an intelligence or responsiveness. In fact, 7 researchers who visited the family all agreed the event hinted at a guiding intelligence behind them. For instance, if the family discussed calling a priest or expert, the phenomena would surge as if in protest. Playfair even conducted control experiments, at one point producing some normal knocks on the wall himself, to compare with the recordings of the mysterious raps. Decades later, acoustic analysis would show the poltergeist raps he recorded had a distinct sound signature not found in ordinary knuckle knocks. This provided hard evidence that the anomalous noises, although an almost perfect mimicry, were actually very different in character from any human-made banging. By the time the Ipiranga poltergeist finally subsided, Playfair had collected hours of audio and numerous eyewitness accounts. He chronicled the case in his 1975 book, The Flying Cow, detailing how such Brazilian cases paralleled classic hauntings recorded elsewhere. But this case also steeled him for a much more bizarre case that was soon to cross his path. Just outside Sao Paulo. An ordeal so dramatic, that locals came to believe it was not a mere haunting, but black magic itself was at play. So, let's take a look at this terrifying case, the Guarulhos Poltergeist, a poltergeist as a weapon.
Let's have a quick break to talk to you about Acorns. Acorns wants to show a little love to everyone who's on their way to some money goal. Now, a money goal may sound like something everyone has, but believe me, they don't. And even when you think you do, you don't really take into account the step-by-step incremental measurements that need to be made in order to achieve said goal, which is something I personally don't have the time to do. This is where Acorns do their magic, because they try to take you from where's my money today to that goal. And the way they do that is they focus on where your money's going to be tomorrow. There's two major things I want to point out with this. You don't need a bundle of cash to invest. You can invest your spare change. And the second thing is, I'm fortunate enough that the money I've invested, I've seen grow. And using the app, I can see that visually. They also have a potential screen. It shows you the power of compounding your money and how by doing so, you could grow it over time. Basically, for me, Acorns is an all-in-one. Invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. Sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 40 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 11 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. A great job, married, dating, single. The truth is, most of us are still finding our way through this thing called life. And especially in February, the month of love, Valentine's Day, etc. If you're single, it can be a really rough time. Even if you're in a relationship, maybe things aren't going well. Maybe they're going too well, and that, in your mind, feels a bit off. But therapy can help you find what you want. What you want out of a relationship, out of a job, out of a career, out of a life. Now, I'm not ashamed to say in the slightest I've been in therapy for now over 2 years, and it's helped me immensely. Now, of course, I'm in the UK, but BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the US. They do the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A quick questionnaire will identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 years plus of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right first time every time. And if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, serving over 6 million people globally. And it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. So sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
In April 1973, on the outskirts of Sao Paulo, in the quiet Jardim Rosa de Franca neighborhood, another family fell prey to an onslaught of the unexplained. This case would become known as one of Brazil's strangest ever recorded cases. The events began subtly, then escalated quickly into a frenzy of paranormal aggression, as if some unseen entity had one sole intention: to terrorize a young family. Playfair, alongside veteran researcher Hermione G. Andrade, were drawn to the case. What they uncovered was so outlandish that even Playfair remarked it was, and I quote, especially unusual, even by Brazilian standards. The incident centered around a 21-year-old mother, Noemia, who lived with her husband and infant daughter and extended family. It all began one afternoon with a baffling act of vandalism. Noemia found the living room couch not moved or even upturned. but slashed to ribbons, as if clawed by a wild animal. Soon after, similar destruction spread through the house. Mattresses and chairs were found with similar long gashes. Fabric was torn open in front of eyewitnesses. The family were perplexed and alarmed. Who or what was shredding their furniture in total disregard of their very presence? Then came the sightings. Glimpses of a shadowy creature stalking around the home at night. Noah Mia's father-in-law, Pedro, for one, swore he saw, I quote, "the hand and arm of a beast, a monster, not a man, lurking in the darkness." He described the apparition in chilling detail, saying it had 15-centimeter-long claws, curved, black, glossy, and was covered in a fine red fur that gleamed like that of a jaguar. This was no mere ghostly white figure subtly fleeting across a hallway. This was a beast. A beast seemingly dragged from the darkness. As days went on, the onslaught of phenomena multiplied and grew violent. Among the reported happenings were ferocious physical attacks. Family members began finding inexplicable scratches and cuts on their skin. Noemia herself suffered deep slashes across her face from an unseen claw, which would appear in clusters of 3 to 5 marks as though made by talons. A visiting neighbour's baby was left with a sudden cut on her leg that required medical assistance. Noemia's husband, Marcus, was cut and scratched by the invisible assailant on multiple occasions. These wounds seemed deliberate, inflicted to maximize fear, almost like a taunt from the entity. Stones pelted the roof from nowhere. Dishes and glassware shattered spontaneously in the cupboards. Money would go missing from one spot and appear somewhere else. But perhaps most eerily, when the family tried to find solace in prayer, they would discover their Bibles had been sliced apart, always cut open precisely at Psalm 91, the same scripture they'd been reciting for protection, as if the entity was sending a mocking message. Interestingly, just as in the Ipiranga case, fires would ignite without cause, small blazes would erupt in furniture, linens, even paperwork. "I'm always putting out fires," Marco lamented wearily. Little explosions would rock the house. Appliances would short-circuit. And pops like gunfire were heard as objects combusted or broke apart. This relentless torment drove Noemia and her relatives to seek help. At first, they invited neighbours to come and witness the incidents, lest anyone accuse them of imagining things or making things up. The case then caught the attention of local media, and soon Andrade took on the investigation. Playfair, busy at the time with the Ipiranga case, was briefed on the phenomena and was shown photographs of the wrecked furniture. Initially, he wondered if a wild animal, or someone's attempt to domesticate a wild animal, had been the culprit. But this was quickly ruled out when the family confirmed no animal was kept. And so Playfair became embroiled in one of the most terrifying investigations of his career. As the investigators dug deeper, a troubling theory emerged, because the family revealed that two mysterious women, strangers to them, had repeatedly shown up at their door shortly before all the chaos began. They asked odd questions. They behaved strangely. Tying this with local spiritual lore, Andrade hypothesized that the family may be victims of witchcraft. In Brazilian Umbanda and spiritist traditions, sorcerers could conjure malevolent spirits known as umulans, shape-shifting entities deployed to harm enemies. These poltergeists for hire would attach themselves to a target, in this case Noemir, and wreak physical and psychological havoc as a form of curse. Essentially, it was a poltergeist as a weapon scenario, deliberately invoked by malicious intent. Priests and pastors were called in to perform exorcisms and blessings, and during one of those intense prayer sessions, the normally stoic Pedro, the patriarch, fell into a trance. His eyes rolled back in his head, and he claimed to see the red-furred beast in a bedroom. In an almost biblical confrontation, Pedro said he lunged and grappled with the invisible foe, shouting he was guided by the Spirit of God. Now, regardless whether this was a genuine psychic battle or a stress-induced hallucination, it only demonstrates the extreme lengths that the family went through to resist this unseen assailant. But ultimately, it would be Noemir herself who faced the entity in a final showdown. Exhausted and pregnant with another child, Noemir decided she would not be a victim anymore. One night, she knelt in prayer, and she felt the atmosphere change. The temperature plummeted, and a grotesque figure materialized before her. The entity appeared as a fire-breathing man with a demonic visage, spewing obscenities at the young mother. Mustering all her courage, Noemir stood up to this fiery spectre, and in a trembling voice, she recited Psalm 91, the same psalm the spirits had tauntingly shredded in their Bibles, effectively throwing scripture back at its face. "No evil shall befall you, no affliction come near your tent," she prayed aloud defiantly. At the climax of this confrontation, a frigid chill swept over Noemir, and then, as suddenly as it all began, the evil presence vanished. She was left stood in a dark, silent room, and her terrified husband woke to find the whole ordeal over. The oppressive atmosphere that had hung over the household for months had gone. In the aftermath, the family reported that the spiritual assaults never returned. Word of the hellish experiences spread, yet Noemir's family sought no fame nor fortune. They refused to even publicize their last name. They wanted to heal in private. Investigators, however, continued to study the case for well over a decade, compiling a trove of evidence including audio recordings, photographs, and witness testimonies. In fact, the case drew such notoriety that it caught the eye of the CIA, which quietly monitored it as part of a Cold War era program to understand and potentially weaponize psychic phenomena. The CIA's declassified 2003 files actually confirmed they were tracking the Brazilian poltergeist activity, though they offered no conclusions. For Playfair, being peripherally involved in the Garulhos case whilst directly handling the Ipiranga case was an eye-opening experience. Here was a poltergeist seemingly engineered by human malice, a concept that blurred the lines between supernatural and superstition. Playfair would later articulate in his writings, "Poltergeists behave like mischievous independent entities, not necessarily ghosts of the dead, but perhaps some kind of unknown, unconscious or conscious force." In Brazil, he'd seen such forces act almost like angry spirits for hire, reacting intelligently to prayers and challenges. This dramatic South American haunting gave Playfair a broader context for understanding poltergeists across cultures. Long before the Enfield poltergeist made any headlines, Guy Lyon Playfair had already walked through the fire of paranormal investigation, literally, in the case of Brazil's flame-throwing poltergeists. Playfair's role in any retelling of the Enfield saga is often sidelined as almost a helping hand to the much more bombastic Maurice Gross. As if Gross was the weathered researcher and Playfair was almost on work experience. However, the complete opposite was true. Enfield was Maurice Gross's first ever case. But by that point, Playfair had witnessed and documented true darkness for years. When Playfair did return to London, and then famously spent 180 sleepless nights investigating Enfield, he was surely prepared by his prior experiences. He knew what poltergeists were capable of, and was not easily fooled nor frightened. Enfield, with its levitating girls and gruff disembodied voices, became the most documented poltergeist case on record. But as we've seen, Enfield was but one chapter in a much, much longer story. After Enfield, Playfair would go on to explore other hauntings, to study telepathy in twins, and to write many books sharing his findings. Throughout, he remained both a storyteller and an investigator, keen to engage the public's imagination whilst also urging that claims need to be examined critically. In the end, Guy Lyon Playfair's journey reminds us that the line between skeptic and believer is probably crossed easiest by the force of evidence banging on one's floor in the dead of the night. And it's here we end our look at one of the most important figures in the paranormal, either in the UK or in the entire world. So, I think we all owe a debt of gratitude to Guy Lyon Playfair for his inquisitiveness, his love of the topic, and arguably, without people like him, there would be no words you're hearing right now. So personally, a thank you to him from me, if he can hear me on the other side, of course, which we will all find out one day. But this day, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me to hear about one of the most interesting people I believe we'll ever discuss on the show. And until next time, stay safe and take care.